Ladies and gentlemen, please adjust your scorecards. We have a special guest in the lineup.
And welcome to Let's Get To. I'm your host, James Christopher, and we have a very special co-host today. He is the captain of the Globo Gym Purple Cobras, runner-up of the National Dodgeball Tournament, Mr. White Goodman.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
I told you I'm James Christopher, not LaFleur.
No, I told you that.
No, but I just told you that.
But I just said it.
But it's what I said.
Touché.
Anyway, I think you're going to absolutely love this episode.
Yeah, well, Joni loves Chachi. But are you ready for the woo? Hurricane, wind surge, hurricanes are made of wind. I read it once in a book.
Welcome to Let's Get To, the baseball show from the fan's perspective. Now here's your host, James Christopher. Let's Get To presents the first pitch. Opening thoughts from James Christopher.
And welcome to Let's Get To. I'm your host, James Christopher, and we have a great show for you today. We've got a wacky show for you today. White Goodman is here to help me hold it down. We've got Wichita Wind Surge baseball covered from top to bottom. And it was so much fun to get out to Wichita to see a ball game and hang out with Adam Knapp, who's an incredibly talented documentary filmmaker, good buddy of mine from my independent film world. But it is September going into October, and that means sometimes we've all got to play a little hurt. I want to do a special shout out to Dr. Cass Stevens and his team at Baylor Scott & White for hooking us up this week. They really made us feel comfortable. They made their procedure as easy as it possibly could have been. And, you know, it was a situation that the VA had kind of punted on, and I was so excited to finally get it taken care of and finally get full range of motion back in my wrist. But the thing is, you guys, is at this point, if my math is correct, there is no more baseball left except for the Atlantic League and Major League Baseball, at least baseball in the States. So what that means is we're a month away from the void, but don't you be scared of the void. Your favorite minor league baseball team is here. We're holding it down, and Baseball Santa is coming back. So start thinking about what you want to ask for Christmas from Baseball Santa, because you just might get the opportunity. Like I said, we have a great show ahead of us, so stick with us.
From the bleachers, the Let's Get To Game of the Week.
Hey, everyone. It's your boy White Goodman here. Now, you don't have to be Laser or Taser or even my boy Blazer to know that the wind surge is a great time at the ballpark. And they're doing nothing but hitting bombas. They will rock you, Purple Cobras for life.
Boy, this episode has started off pretty weird, even by my standards. But you know what's not weird? Getting out here to Riverfront Stadium, home of your Wichita Wind Surge, to see a ball game. Having a great time. We cannot wait to show you what we saw when we saw it. So without further ado, I'll leave it to someone much more famous than me to kick us off.
Well, welcome to Wichita.
And we did indeed feel welcome. Crossing the river to the aptly named Riverfront Stadium, we immediately felt at home. It's a beautiful ballpark, and it made clear that one of the tragedies of the lost 2020 season was that fans didn't get to experience this right away. From the mural that reminds you that baseball is alive and well in Wichita, to the pristinely manicured field, baseball is back in the city. Riverfront features a long covered concourse that runs past first and third, providing a myriad of options both for food and drink, but also for community activities. It's a ballpark that pops from any vantage point, a respite from the day-to-day life where for 3 hours a day, the greatest game ever invented is played. It's a ballpark that looks to the future while also remembering its aviation past as seen in this wonderful piece of art that replicates jet engines. I really dig the suites because you have the suite area, then you have a patio area, and then you have your assigned seats. It gives you three great options and a great view of the ballpark. It features a large air-conditioned club area, which is a perfect way to beat the heat, have a drink, and again, enjoy a great view of the ballgame. The ballpark is dedicated to Lou Schweikenheimer, the owner of the Wind Surge and the driving force behind moving them from New Orleans to Wichita. He passed away in 2020 before he ever got to see a game at the new Riverfront Stadium. But he is well remembered, both with his name in the grass and an image above the concourse. Speaking of remembrances, we were at Riverfront on 9/11. From flags in the berm, to the star-studded area around home plate, to the color guard and flag display, to the dedication to our first responders, to the touching remembrance for my 13 brothers and sisters who were killed in Afghanistan during the withdrawal, it made my opportunity to render the hand salute during the anthem that much more meaningful. No matter what happens, at home or abroad, we will persevere as a nation. Now here I am asking if a former soldier with bad knees and a big gut can re-enlist. Just kidding. Serving in the Army is definitely a young man's game, and I am no longer young. And the Marines are doing Marine things and doing their own recruiting, looking for a few good kids. Seriously, that guy was rocking the pull-ups. All in all, it was a blast to sit down and talk baseball. This guy was telling us all about getting to see Mickey Mantle play as a kid. Just a perfect night at the ballpark. And I don't know what it is about a ballpark, old, new, fancy, or stripped down, but it immediately brings comfort to me when I step inside. Which means, having so many few opportunities left before the void, I need to make sure I take advantage of all of them. Riverfront Stadium is one of the best examples of a ballpark. Good product on the field, lots of places to relax and enjoy the game, and a reminder of what is good when this American experiment is going the right way. And above all things, baseball belongs in Wichita.
Who's on first? The Let's Get To Local 9, brought to you by Zoomer Sport.
So we are excited to be joined again by Tim Grubbs, voice of your Wichita Wind Surge, wrapping up our trip. Tim, first of all, let's talk about season on the field. I know the end wasn't what you guys wanted. We'll talk a little bit about how they went down and sort of the nature of what it's like to be a affiliate full of top prospects and what that can mean for your playoff run. But you couldn't have penciled it any better to go into the playoffs to play that well in an inaugural season that was delayed.
Yeah, no, honestly, the fact that we didn't win a ring is disappointing. But if you would have told me on May 4th on opening day that we would be a first place team for 88% of the season, we would go to the postseason our first year, I would have signed the piece of paper right there saying, I'll take it. You know, obviously it's disappointing when you go to the championship series and you lose, especially when you know that you were the best team in the league all season. But like when you talked about with the players, we did not have the best team, you know, the final week of the year. Yeah. We had lost enough players along the way. And there were times during the year that, you know, when we lost a Jose Miranda or a Josh Winder or a BJ Boyd, you were really wondering, is this team going to still maintain being in first place? Are they going to continue to play well? And, you know, guys would step up, and the Twins had a great organization. We would get guys from Cedar Rapids and they would just plug and play. And, you know, the Spencer Steers and the Trey Cabbages, and I can go down the line, the Jordan Gores, all seem to fill roles that were left voided when we lost the guys to AAA St. Paul. So, you know, it was a great year. It certainly will always be one of the memorable ones for me.
Yeah, it's funny because it was the same situation I think Round Rock dealt with in 19, where they went wire to wire in the PSPCL, and then call-ups came up. Astros had already clinched, so let's bring up a bunch of young guys. And now you're just like, wait.
It happens all the time. Like, I'm not selling a story of – I guarantee you, if we talk to the other 12 minor league champions this year, the 11 runner-ups or 12 runner-ups or whatever, they all have the same story. We've seen it. I was in the PCL for a long time, and there were tons of times on September 1st, if you told me what team would win. And by that point, September 1st, what are you – there's only like 5 days left in the regular season. Right, I would pick the champion wrong more times than not, only because – you know, you didn't always know how the cards were going to play out with call-ups essentially and what would happen. Oklahoma City for years had the best talent, you know, being a Dodgers affiliate, but they would call their guys up and before you know it, they would stumble in the playoffs.
Yeah, because the Dodgers at that point had everything sewn up. You don't want to hurt regulars, so you're
right.
You're going to see what's out there. Do you think that bums the fans out? You know, because one of the things I noticed about, and you'll see a little bit of it earlier in this episode with, I think it was one of the most intelligent baseball fan bases that have been around. And I sat in the stands and talked baseball for nine innings. Does it bum them out when they see that, wait a minute, the guy that was here last week that was raking isn't here anymore?
I think it does. And obviously Wichita has been without an affiliated team for 12 years, 13 years. So, and they had an independent league team here for most of those years that went to the playoffs around eight times, won a couple championships with the Wingnuts. And so they were kind of a little bit of a dynasty. They had a winning program here. I think it does, especially since, you know, this was being year one. They're not acclimated to that yet, but I will say this. Our fan base from a baseball, you know, as a broadcaster that sits up above and you hear the crowd cheering and different things like that, they are very, I'm glad that you picked that up in the games that you were here, because I do think they are an outstanding baseball knowledge of what they understand. You know, the little things when they just move a guy over, you know, and they're cheering because they understand. And I know we don't do as much small ball in 2021 as we did maybe 3-4 years ago, but it still happens and it's still important to get a guy over so you can potentially drive him in.
Well, I even noticed not as many pop-ups to the middle of the outfield that were reacting as if they were high drives to deep center. You know, that's always my first mark of a fan base is how used to being here are you?
Yeah. No. And that's obviously there are some balls that get wind aided to fly out of a ballpark, but that's the one I always get a kick when I do the broadcast, when it's those kids days. And the kids are going nuts and the shortstop makes the catch. And, you know, it's one of those things. It is very entertaining and people can laugh about, you know, and I listen back, you know, where when you look at the highlights, you're like, wow, they were really going nuts. How did that become a pop up to the shortstop? But it does happen from time to time.
If only we could will it. So you're in the office. First of all, what does your off season look like? Like, do you get some time off now or are you going to kind of roll until Christmas or how's that work?
It's a little bit of both. This is only the second day I've been back in the office this week. So it worked out, you and I scheduling this worked out good. I've been kind of working every other day, taking some time off, you know, to recharge my batteries. I'll take a little bit of time off in October. But then, you know, I'll take some time off, you know, the week of Thanksgiving. I'll take a lot of time off during the Christmas holiday as well to go visit family and friends and go from there. So, but it is one of those things where we, you know, you try to take a little bit of a break to recharge the batteries because, I mean, you know what it's like, 124 baseball games this year. I'm used to saying 140, but yeah. This year was a little bit shortened. But the way things were, I mean, it was, you know, when we got started, even though we had an off day a week, most of those days were travel days. And, you know, you really do, I mean, you work a lot of hours and a lot of late nights.
Especially you, because you travel with the team, right? Like, it's one thing for your head of the pro shop or whatever, like they get.
Yeah, they get a little bit more of a break. The groundskeeper never gets a break because obviously they're always keeping the field in tip top shape. But there are a lot of people that do get breaks, especially with the way the schedule worked. We had some stretches where we were on the road for 12 games in a row. And I felt like those were some that made it harder. It made it harder for me to be away for that long. And I felt it was harder for our season ticket holders and for our fans to be away from the team for those long stretches. But that's where it's so important to be the broadcaster and so important for social media now to keep our people connected to what's going on when the team goes on the road for such a long time.
And so when will you start really, like, you and the team start putting together what 2022 is going to look like promotions wise? You know, because you guys did such a great job with 9/11. When do you start kind of looking at the calendar and figuring out what you're going to do? Or have you started?
I think, obviously, as a front office, we're going to go see the Twins play tomorrow. Cool. In Kansas City. So it'll be cool to see him play, a major league game. There'll only be one former Windsurge player on that team, unless there's a roster move later today. Without the roster, the September call-ups that we were used to, it's not as much in the past, but I would think that'd be an annual thing. We've already talked about it a little bit, but I think next week we'll start looking. The one thing people don't understand, and you look behind you with the different types of giveaway items that you got, those things take a long time to get delivered in. So you need to start ordering those things, and especially bobbleheads, you know, especially in these COVID times, everything takes a little longer.
Yeah.
So you need to put those order in, you know, before Thanksgiving, if you want something to give away in April or May. So yeah, those types of things will be lined up here real soon.
Yeah. I know, like, even you guys, I mean, the shortages have been crazy, like New Era, not being able, you guys were short on hats. Jersey Shore was short on hats, and it sucks because you guys are a small business. You need to sell every single hat you can, and to not have the supply was a real bummer. So as we wrap up, we're going to do some rapid fire questions for you real quick. First things first, who do you have in the AL and NLCS? Not winning, in it.
Wow, you're going big leagues.
We're going big leagues. Yeah, we'll do. It's going to be random. Big leagues.
It's going to be random questions. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously the Dodgers are loaded. You know, I'm going to stick with, you know, as much as I don't want to see them win, and it's not that I'm an anti-Dodger fan, I definitely see the Dodgers in the National League. The other team, you know, I was saying Brewers all along, but that was before their closer punched broke his hand.
What the heck is happening?
I'm probably still going to stick with Milwaukee, but I think that's a major problem. You know, I mean, obviously when that happens, so I'm going to stick with Milwaukee just because that was my gut, you know, up until maybe when I found out that news just earlier.
Yeah.
In the American League, it's a little bit more wide open. Obviously, I think Tampa Bay has a good shot. I mean, hey, we don't even know who the wild cards are at this point.
There's eight of them, right?
Toronto or Seattle or, you know, Boston or New York. You know, obviously Tampa, I think, is the easy one. And, you know, I'll stick with Houston. You know, as much as they've stumbled lately, I think we could be heading more towards another Astros Dodgers World Series if both teams are playing well at the right time.
Yeah, the universe would fold in on itself. Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Nobody likes either organization right now, but I think it could very likely happen.
You know what? It'd be nice and cathartic, and we could just get it over with, and there you go. All right, hot dogs or brats?
I've always been a hot dog person growing up. And I do love hot dogs. My wife is from the Midwest, from Iowa. Uh-huh. I've been to Milwaukee. I've been to some Brewer games and have had some brats. I think I lean more brats now than hot dogs.
Okay. What is the strangest thing you've ever seen in a ballpark?
Oh, the strangest thing. I've seen some strange stuff over the years. You know, you see the critters running across the field and all that stuff. That is actually really random because I'm trying to think of what's the most bizarre thing. I mean, because you see a lot of weird stuff. Obviously you see tarps. I mean, I was in Albuquerque one day when three people got thrown off the tarp. It was crazy. I guess just the raccoon running across the field is one of the more favorite ones that we had in New Orleans a few years ago, because of the fact that it was a raccoon and it had its little babies running right behind it. So it was kind of like a little parade too.
I remember that. Like, that was all over the internet. The video
was all over the internet. Yeah. There were some of that. I'm going to go with that one just because everybody's afraid of raccoons. So that's a little bit different than a dog or a squirrel or a cat or a possum or anything like that. Let's just go raccoon.
I was in San Antonio where they had to bring in to get a rattlesnake out of the
outfield. I remember that being going viral. That was about a week before I was going to San Antonio for the first time to see a Missions game. So yeah, that was right before that. I remember
the fact that I returned to San Antonio is a miracle in and of itself. Okay. Superman or Batman?
Superman.
Okay. What is your favorite baseball uniform?
I grew up in Pittsburgh. I grew up in the late 70s and stuff like
that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
It's the yellow. It's nothing I would ever want to wear. But when I see it, it's that baseball uniform. You're wearing Astros. You guys, I'm happy the Astros went back to the rainbow stripe, you know, the stripes. It just, sometimes you see those random uniforms, it just puts a smile on your face. So those yellow pants, the yellow jersey, the Willie Stargell, you know, cap with the stars on it for everything you've done well. Every time I see highlights with those uniforms, when the Pirates wear them now, they wear them on Sunday home games, it just automatic puts a grin on my face.
I love that answer. Okay, Godfather 1 or 2?
Oh, they're both great. I haven't seen either one in a while now, a few years. I think I prefer 2.
Okay. If you could own one team that is not your favorite team, but you could own one team, which one and why?
This is a random answer because as being a Pittsburgh Pirates fan and being, you know, and I'm going to say growing up now, of course I root for just individual players and, you know, that are around Major League Baseball, but the random team that I think I would buy would be the Cubs. and you would say, I don't even root for the Cubs, but I love day baseball. And I love day baseball so much.
Oh, that's great.
That I think I would just want to be, if I could know that I could have most, and I know they've leaned more towards night baseball in recent years, but I think I would pick them. I always said that was my dream broadcasting job, just because it would be kind of like having a 9-to-5. The fact that you'd be done most days by 4 p.m. or 5 p.m.
You know, being laid up this week, I just wish there was more. I mean, day baseball is a special thing. I wish we could find a way to bring it back.
I really do. And I mean, I wish that, you know, there was a World Series game. You know, Major League Baseball has done so much well with the Field of Dreams game and different things like that. I just wish they could do an NLCS or an ALCS game. Let's just throw it in the middle of the afternoon so people can enjoy it.
I completely agree, especially since they start so late. Star Wars or Jaws?
Jaws.
Oh, great. Okay.
I love Jaws. I love, not obviously you get into the later ones, but I can watch Jaws 1 or Jaws 2 at any time. It's just, it's always been riveting to me for some reason.
Jaws is my all time favorite movie. What would you pick for your last meal on Earth?
Wow. And obviously, you know, steak and potato type of person. But my go-to meal at ballparks, for the most part, you know, when the press box has food that I may not want, is typically a cheeseburger. So I'm going cheeseburger.
Okay. Now, would you have that meal with Michael Scott or Leslie Knope?
Oh, I don't know who those people are. So I guess I'm trying to think. I recognize the names.
Okay. Michael Scott is the lead in The Office. Leslie Knope is the lead in Parks and Rec. So.
Oh, and I don't watch either one.
Okay.
So
there you go. Well, you should.
I've seen The Office more than Parks and Rec, only a little bit, so I'd probably leave that way. But right, you got me on a question that I really was confused about.
You have a whole offseason. What is the first time in baseball that the game broke your heart?
The first time? I don't know if this is the first time, but the game, you know, what crushed me was it 1992? The Pittsburgh Pirates, they had lost in the NLCS, the Francisco Cabrera game. Uh-huh. And the main reason why it crushed my heart was because I knew at that point that Barry Bonds was leaving and was going to be a free agent. Doug Drabek was going to leave. And I knew at that point that the Pittsburgh Pirates were going to be bad for a few years. Now, did I expect him to go 20 some years without making the playoffs? Probably not. So that definitely would have been the first time.
Okay, and last one. If you could be in any other sport other than baseball, what would it be?
Any other sport, I would probably say football. I'm a football, baseball, basketball person, and I love college hoops. But I think I'm going to lean football just because of the fact that the NFL is riveting to me on a week-to-week basis. Just the drama of everything about it. Hey, let's just see what's going on in Houston right now with a healthy Deshaun Watson being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, being a healthy scratch every week. That in itself is it's like a soap opera. Yeah. Just some of the storylines you hear in the NFL. I think
as a Cowboys fan, I think that's hilarious, but that's, but that's me. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Tim, for jumping back on. He is Tim Grubbs, voice of your Wichita Wind Surge. They will be back in the spring. Make sure you get out to Wichita and check out a ball game.
I'm glad you enjoyed Riverfront.
Raiders of the Lost Diamond, a look into baseball's past.
So we've been talking all day about Wichita baseball, the Wind Surge. We had a great site visit out, and now we're excited to have Bob Lutz on the show. Talked a little bit about the history of baseball in Wichita. First of all, Bob, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And by the way, just a small correction. I pronounce it Lutz.
Lutz,
okay. I'm not sure why, but that's kind of been my family's MO.
Okay. Well, you know, my last name is spelled DZIEDZIC, so I will take you at your word.
Yeah, I forget. I'm not even going to try that one.
Yeah, I pronounce it Smith just to throw people off. So let's talk a little bit about baseball. You know, you've covered baseball and sports in Wichita, Kansas for a while. The Wind Surge is not the first foray into baseball in Wichita, is it?
No, actually, baseball in Wichita has been around for more than a century. So this is the latest foray. It's certainly one of the more exciting forays simply because of the new ballpark that came along with it. But we've had affiliated baseball for many years in Wichita, and then a stretch of independent baseball with the Wichita Wingnuts that preceded this return to affiliated ball with the Minnesota Twins organization.
Let's talk a little bit about the Wranglers. Talk about some of what you saw, some of the high points of covering that team in Wichita.
Yeah, you know, the Wranglers came back as the Pilots, actually, in 1986 after an absence of minor league baseball here in the community for a couple years. Wichita had a Triple-A team called the Arrows from 1970 through 1984. That local ownership went away, and for 2 years, baseball was kind of dormant here professionally. The Wichita Pilots returned. For 2 years, they were called the Pilots, and then they became the Wichita Wranglers. Their first affiliation was with the San Diego Padres, but then they got an affiliation with the Royals that people here certainly thought would elevate the excitement and the anticipation. And it did to some degree. The problem was that the ownership, while strong at first, Bob and Mindy Rich, kind of faded. And then the ballpark started to deteriorate to the point where it wasn't a good experience necessarily to go out to Lawrence Dumont Stadium. But the team was fun. You know, we had Double A baseball here for 20 years. And it was a lot of fun. We had good players come through and we're a member of the Texas League. So, you know, good stuff.
Pour one out for the Texas League. I'm hoping that name does come back eventually.
Yeah, Double A Central doesn't quite roll off the tongue.
It really doesn't. You talk a little bit about ownership. How important is it for the ownership to be bought into the community when you're talking about a minor league or independent league team? And how key is that to the success of that team?
Yeah, I think it's a real key. You know, we've experienced good ownership here in Wichita with minor league baseball, and we've experienced not so good ownership. I'm really optimistic that the current ownership group is a positive. Of course, we lost Lou Schweckheimer, who passed away last year due to COVID. He was instrumental in getting this team to Wichita and getting this ballpark built, Riverfront Stadium, and it was a big blow to lose Lou, and I don't think any of us really knew how this would go without him, but it's been a great first season, and the attendance has been good. The ballpark is a major attraction for that, in my opinion, but the team's also been good and competitive, and they're in the Double-A Central playoffs as we speak. So it's been a great – I don't know that you could have drawn it up better, especially considering all the unknowns after the passing of Lou Schweckheimer. It's been a really good first year.
Yeah, I was thinking about that with you guys with the passing of Lou. And, of course, you sold the community on a Triple-A team, and then post-COVID – post-contraction, now it's a Double-A team. And maybe speak to that for a second, because you can make the argument that you're actually seeing better players if you're watching a Double-A team than if you're watching the Triple-A team, at least when it comes to sort of major league prospects.
Yeah, you know, I'm about the prospects, and I follow that very closely. And I like to see players come through our town, whether they're on the Wichita team or opposing teams. I like to see prospects come through. I think the difference between Double-A and Triple-A is that most of these players, at least theoretically, are moving up. Most Triple-A players are either stagnant or on their way down. There's a little bit of a difference there. I've covered both. It's easier to cover a Double-A team because the players are still pretty positive, pretty hopeful. A lot of times when you're around Triple-A players, they can read the writing on the wall. They know the reality of the situation. A lot of them are either barely hanging on or, like I said, in decline. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of AAA players who are prospects. There are. I think most organizations like for their players to get a taste of every level. And I think we're especially going to see that now that we've contracted this down to really four levels of affiliated baseball, low A, high A, double A, and triple A. I think you're going to see a lot of players, you know, test their wares at all levels. So triple A is a great brand of baseball, mm-hmm. but double A is not much different. And I think you're right. I think you may see better prospects for a more prolonged period of time playing at the double A level.
I was curious to ask about the wing nuts. Independent baseball is a bit of a fascination for me. How did they do? How did that work? Because I ask in part because some of these leagues that were contracted this year were sort of pushed in independent baseball. And I don't know really and truly what the future is for that, or if it's even considered independent. Now they're partner leagues now, right? Like, so it's a bit different. How did the wing nuts perform in Wichita as far as fan engagement and that sort of thing?
You know, it was pretty good. I'd say pretty good. They had really competitive teams almost on a yearly basis. They had a favorite son, Kevin Hooper, who played at Wichita State, started as a player manager for the Wing Nuts. And then once he stopped playing, he was just the manager. But they had some guys that played here that went on to the big leagues. David Peralta from the Diamondbacks was a Wing Nut. So was Junior Guerra. I'm not sure if he's still pitching in the big leagues or not, but I know he was this season. So there were a smattering of players who went from Wichita and got to the big leagues. But independent baseball is for guys who have played. They still want to play. They've been in the affiliated ranks, and for whatever reason, they're not anymore, and they're trying to scratch and claw their way back to that. Not many of them get to the big leagues. So that level of baseball, while I think it has its place, I never felt like that was enough for our community here in Wichita. I always felt like we should have affiliated baseball.
Let's talk a little bit about just the community then, because it's interesting because you've described, and what I did in the research was, like many minor league towns, a lot of stops and starts. You sort of have a different brand, or you might lose a team for a couple of years. How baseball hungry is the community?
That's a great question. We've talked about that in Wichita for many years. You know, we have a great college baseball program here in Wichita State, a team that has won a national championship in baseball. Used to go to the College World Series quite regularly in the late 80s into the early 90s. We have the National Baseball Congress World Series here in Wichita. That's been an annual event now here for 87 years. Many, many fantastic major league players have passed through here while playing for those summer collegiate teams and semi-pro teams. So Wichita has a really deep and rich baseball history. I think affiliated baseball had kind of a renaissance this year with the wind surge. I think we were thirsty for a return. We were especially thirsty to see this stadium that had been up for a full year and nobody had really gotten inside of it, certainly not to witness a baseball game.
Yeah.
This crown jewel, almost an $80 million facility, and we couldn't get into it. And that's that leads to some frustration, I'm sure.
I had a great time at the ballpark, in part hanging out with some guys, a gentleman who saw Mickey Mantle play, and he'd been in Wichita for forever. And it was great to hear him speak, like loving the new team, loving the new name, but to hear him speak with fondness about the Pilots and about the Wranglers and even the Wing Nuts. I thought it was pretty indicative of what the community is like as far as baseball goes. And it's not something I've encountered a lot in my travels.
Yeah, you know, baseball people tend to romanticize maybe a little more than fans of other sports because baseball lends itself to that. It's a methodical game. There is time to stop and smell the roses. When you're watching a baseball game, maybe that you don't have when you're watching some other sports. So I think it lends itself to that a little bit. Certainly I would fit into that category of someone who romanticizes. I started going to baseball games here in Wichita when I was a young child, the NBC World Series. And then when the Arrows came to Wichita in 1970, I was a sophomore in high school, and that was a huge deal. A baseball-affiliated brand of baseball had been absent at that point for 13 years from Wichita. So getting the AAA Arrows was a big deal. I went to a ton of their games in the 70s. So, yeah, you hope that – and I see a lot of kids at Riverfront Stadium, and I'm involved with a youth baseball organization in Wichita called League 42. So it gives me hope that those young kids who are going to win surge games develop a deeper love and appreciation for the game of baseball just by being in the atmosphere, just by being around it.
I think people don't really understand how important minor league, independent baseball, and collegiate summer league baseball is to the growth of the game. Not every major league player grew up in one of the 30 cities that is blessed to have a major league team. It's truly important to grow the future of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. And that's why minor league baseball has thrived throughout its history. It's got a connection to major league baseball, but it's its own entity. And in the cities in which it exists, it's a rallying point. And that's certainly been the case here with Wichita. I mean, I remember a day, and I follow baseball closely enough, I'm enough of a historian to know when each team had upwards of 20 affiliates throughout the country, all over the place. It was a madhouse. That was at a time when there were 16 teams in the major leagues. So yeah, you can imagine the odds of those players reaching their ultimate goal of getting to the major leagues. A very small fraction ever got a chance to play in the major league, but they got great reward out of playing in their towns for their teams and getting some kind of a payment for doing that. But yeah, we've seen minor league baseball at the affiliated level really consolidate over the past few years. I understand why that is, but I do feel bad for the towns and cities that have had that taken away.
You know, it's funny because initially Major League Baseball seems to have kept its promise to most of those communities by helping either getting it into an independent league or a collegiate summer league in the case of the Appalachian League. My hope is that promise remains strong 5 years from now when maybe it's struggling and is still trying to take root in a community.
Yeah. I certainly understand where Major League Baseball is coming from. We've seen a lot of stories recently about the pay for minor league players and how it's just not, there's not much there, and housing is an issue. You can understand why Major League Baseball wanted to kind of cut the fat here and make it more manageable. And hopefully those things improve for minor league players over the coming years. So I'm hopeful that that will be the case, although we need to see it first to believe it. But, you know, minor league players, many of them are living at or below the poverty level to try to achieve their dreams. So hopefully we can do something about that.
I hope so, too. I want to turn a little bit to the you mentioned the World Baseball Conference. Just explain to people what that is. It's something that I think is really special about the game of baseball that I think maybe more people need to know about.
Are you talking about the National Baseball Congress?
Yeah, National Baseball Congress.
It's been based in Wichita, like I said, for 87 years. It was founded by a gentleman by the name of Hap Dumont. He had an idea that he could sell sporting goods by forming the National Baseball Congress. And he did sell sporting goods. But out of that arose this amateur semi-pro level of baseball, in which they formed a network and they got teams from all over the country playing summer baseball. They organize state tournaments. Kansas used to have a really great state tournament. And then those winners would all convene in Wichita in August to play in the National Baseball Congress World Series. And the list of major leaguers who have come through Wichita and played in that tournament is hundreds. There are hundreds of current and former, mostly former, Major League Baseball players who played in the NBC World Series here, including Tom Seaver, Dave Winfield, Ozzie Smith. Some of the biggest names in the game played in that tournament. So that's certainly a great connection that Wichita has to the great game of baseball and then all these fabled players who have come through town.
Speaking of Ozzie Smith, I can see from behind you, you're a Cardinal guy.
I am, yeah.
As we record this, and admittedly we're dropping this a little bit later after we record it than normal, 11 in a row for your Cardinals. How are you feeling about it going into the postseason?
Well, you never completely feel good until you get there, but I never saw this coming from this particular team this year. They showed no indication that they were capable of winning 11 in a row, especially with a starting pitching staff that's about my age. So I did not see this coming, but it's been a thrill ride. Anytime the team you follow gets on a run like this, this is the longest Cardinals winning streak in 20 years. So it's you don't take anything for granted. You enjoy it while it's happening.
Well, I would admit that when the Astros moved to the AL, I have become a bit of a Cardinal fan myself. My co-host of the show is a big St. Louis guy. Last question, you're at a ballpark, hot dog or a brat? What do you pick?
Well, I'm going to probably go for the brat because – unfortunately, these days at a ballpark, they're both going to break your bank account, so you might as well get the best, right?
Absolutely.
There's really no rationale for going cheaper on a hot dog when the brat is maybe a dollar more, but, you know, go for it. Go for the brat.
Bob, thanks so much for jumping on. Let everybody know where we can find you. I know you're on Twitter, you're active, and your radio show. Is that possible to listen to outside of the Wichita area?
Yeah, we're on KFH Radio here in Wichita from 4 to 6 p.m. You can find us on the Odyssey, AUDACY app. And we would appreciate that. I do that show with my son, so that's quite an experience. And then I'm on Twitter and all that stuff. And it's good to talk Wichita baseball. I'm pretty invested in it, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much for all your hot links down there. He is Bob Lutz covering Wichita baseball for a long time. Thanks so much for jumping on Let's Get To.
Thank you.
Who's on first? The Let's Get To Local 9, brought to you by Zoomer Sport.
So you might have noticed in this episode, I've been wearing a lot of fun jerseys that remind you of Average Joe's and Globo Gym. And they're all the brainchild of the York Revolution, and we're excited to have Doug Epler, Director of Marketing Communications for your York Revolution, on the show. Doug, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Let's talk a little bit about those jerseys, because first of all, when I saw them pop up, I'm a big collector. I'm in Studio B right now is what I call it. You can see behind me, I got a lot of stuff. But it was at first, I was like, what a random choice. And then I thought, and what a no-brainer for minor league baseball to sort of embrace the true underdog story that is dodgeball. Where did all that come from?
Well, we, in creating our promo schedule each year, try to find, first of all, just some creative fun things. And sometimes the things that inspire those theme nights are milestones and anniversaries that are coming up for films or other things within pop culture. So ironically, I think we had actually begun discussing that in late 2019 or early 2020. And I'm going to forget it now because it's been that long, but I believe there was some kind of anniversary coming up for that film. And we thought, all right, it could be a fun movie to work into one of our ball games. And in doing so, we thought that might be another great opportunity for a custom jersey to benefit a nonprofit And then we took it a step further and thought, well, if we did dodgeball, you know, as fun as it would be to put the Revolution as the average Joes or average Revs, as we were calling them, we all agreed, of course, that the cooler jersey really was the bad guys in the film.
Yeah.
And then we got to thinking, could we actually get both teams involved that night? Could we talk to our friends at the Blue Crabs and get the okay from them to put their team in a second jersey, which of course then doubles the number of jerseys people can auction or bid on in the auction. And that could double the fundraising for the nonprofit. And sure enough, our friends at the Blue Crabs were happy to work with us and said, sure, we'll do that. And we had the designs created and we were ready to go. And then COVID hit and everything crashed and burned and at least paused. Yeah. So when we finally got the word that we were going to be able to play this season, we started looking at the schedule and what theme nights we could move over from our 2020 plans. And we thought dodgeball is still a hysterical movie, even if it's not an anniversary year per se. And we already had the designs for the jerseys. So we just looked for the games in which we were playing the Blue Crabs and made sure they were still okay with everything. And sure enough, they said yes. And we rolled out an auction that Revolution fans participated in here in York, and even a number of people in Southern Maryland were able to participate in, even if they didn't come out to the ball game. And then, like yourself, we had people participating from all over the place. So it's just one of those things that, you know, you're able to do in minor league baseball that that make it so much fun to work in this industry.
Well, let's talk about the industry for a second and your role in it. How did you go from a kid, I presume, who liked baseball to end up becoming front office person for an Atlantic League team? I mean, what was that journey like for you?
Yeah, the kid who liked baseball was terrible at it. Eventually discovered he was pretty good at English and writing and communicating and conveying messaging and championing different causes. So that turned into an English and communications major in college, and then lots of different roles in the world of marketing and communications. So the type of work has been the same since I graduated. Organizations for which I've done that work has kind of evolved over the years. And finally, I had reason to move back toward this area where I had grown up. And in doing so, looking around for marketing and communication positions, realized that sometime after I moved away, lo and behold, we got a minor league baseball team here in York. And about 10 years after that had come to be, I was moving back to this area, and the stars lined up and there was an opening in this position, and I stepped in here. So brought the skill set and the experience of marketing and advertising and public relations and all of those types of things to the product that is minor league baseball and all the other events that we host at the ballpark.
Let's talk a little bit about then sort of 2020 going into 2021. You know, you're somebody who dedicated a large percentage of your life to this game. You love the game. How tough was it for you to sort of be faced with the idea that, especially how it wasn't really a hard and fast decision at once? It was like, well, maybe we'll delay 2 weeks. And you guys being Atlantic League were probably thinking, well, we start a little bit later, we should be okay. How was that adjustment like for you? And then obviously the year without baseball.
Yeah, you know, like every other industry out there, and frankly, every household out there, 2020 was a real challenge. You know, like you're saying, part of the challenge was you just didn't know one way or the other. Yes, it wasn't black or white. It wasn't, you know, a clear cut, this is or this is not going to happen for some time. We kept backing up and saying, all right, let's now go on the assumption that maybe we'll be able to start at this point. Maybe we'll be able to start at that point. So for us, the early part of 2020 was a lot of contingency planning and trying to adjust to the idea of a shortened season. And then eventually it was the crushing reality that was there will be no season. which was heartbreaking for the fans of the sport and the players, and obviously those of us for whom this is a business. You know, like so many other industries and people out in this country and around the world, you then switched over to, okay, what am I going to do instead? And we knew that there were things that this ballpark could do for our community. And that became our goal, was to offer what we could here at People's Bank Park, both for the sake of that community, in which we're obviously clearly invested, but also to make sure we stayed as top of mind as possible without a baseball season. So we wanted to make sure we didn't completely fade from memory while, you know, we all had to take a year off.
So then we get back. What was that first game back like for you? I mean, just at an emotional level, what was it like to see fans back in the ballpark?
Emotional is that exactly the word. And you could feel it building up to opening day. It was great just to be talking baseball again, to be writing the word pandemic less and less frequently. And to be telling people we're back to some sense of normalcy. And then when the gates opened, you know, as much as we welcomed the folks who had not been here before, it really was something like a family reunion to bring in all of the season members and the diehard fans who've been with us year after year and who had been with us in the year without and had been very supportive of the alternative things we tried to create. So it was just, it was very emotional as we got to express our appreciation to them and thank them for sticking by us. And it was amazing just to watch the team rush out on the field. I mean, in the days before talking to the players, they were just overwhelmingly grateful that they could still play this game and they could still, that was still their profession. Was the game that they loved and had missed so much.
One of the things that we also dealt with in the pandemic was the whole reshuffling of all baseball, Atlantic League becoming a partner league of MLB and things like that. Where do you see the future of indie ball going beyond now where we do have fewer affiliated minor league teams, but I still think there's a thirst for what minor league baseball offers?
Well, I think in terms of the future of indie baseball, I don't think there is a future for indie baseball because we think that word is kind of obsolete now, given that some of the largest previously not affiliated leagues, if you will, now have a direct tie to Major League Baseball. The word independent is kind of fading away, and in its place come a lot of benefits of a dynamic relationship with the premier level, with Major League Baseball. And I think what you're seeing is that resurgence of the emphasis on the community baseball, that local level minor league team from which all baseball begins, honestly. I mean, you know, after T-ball and Little League, you know, baseball's growth through a community is a lot of times in those local minor league teams. And Major League Baseball clearly recognizes that and recognizes those minor league teams as their future and their source of the future of their game. So I think you're going to see a lot of this collaboration continue where, you know, Major League Baseball is going to reinvest itself in its local communities and say, we are committed to helping baseball exist in all of these smaller towns so that, you know, we can all enjoy it on a national level as well.
Yeah. I've often told people, you know, not every Major League Baseball player grew up in one of the 30 cities that has a major league team.
Yeah.
And that first interaction is always so important. All right. Well, now we're going to have a little fun. Clear your mind.
Okay.
Clear your mind. Here we go. This is going to be random. Hot dogs or brats?
Brats. Hot dogs are great, but I've got an appreciation for brats.
Okay. Superman or Batman?
Batman. Love them both, but definitely Batman.
Okay. What is the strangest thing you've ever seen at a ballpark?
Human cannonball here at our ballpark.
Real? Oh, wow. That,
yes.
We should have led with that. That's pretty epic. I didn't think those were real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite baseball uniform on the planet, any level?
This is going to sound cheesy, but I'm going to stick with my local team and the Orioles. As you know, being a Baltimore boy, I just grew up on the black and orange.
It's a great combo for sure. Okay, Godfather 1 or 2?
Oh man, you're going there. I guess 2, but you got to give respect to 1 because we wouldn't be there without it. So 2 was barely.
Yeah, I think 1's the better film, but I think the Michael Corleone stuff in 2 is the best of any of the films. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
If you could own one team that's not your favorite team, which one and why?
Own one team? The Yankees, just because I'd be rolling in dough. And they are not my favorite team as an Orioles fan.
Yeah, absolutely. It had been a great weekend series a couple weeks ago for you guys.
We enjoyed that, yeah.
I bet you did.
One of a few highlights, but we enjoyed it.
Well, I think you swept my Astros, too. That was the whole thing. But
I'll take it.
All right, would you Star Wars or Jaws?
Oh, Star Wars. Huge Star Wars fan. Appreciation for Jaws, but love everything Star Wars.
Okay. If you could pick one meal for your last meal on Earth, what would it be?
Oh, really good steak and some great potatoes. I'm plain that way.
Okay. If you could have dinner with either Michael Scott or Leslie Knope, who would you have dinner with?
Probably Leslie. As funny as Michael is, I think eventually he would start to either get on my nerves or I'd feel really embarrassed by something he did.
Okay. And last but not least, if you could work in any other sport other than baseball, which one would it be?
Any other sport might have to be football, just because I think the two of them have the most passionate fans. I know European football, soccer fans, obviously rank up there, but as an American, the experience I've seen has been baseball and football. So I'd go with football.
All right. Well, he is Doug Epler of the York Revolution. Thanks so much for jumping on. Good luck the rest of the way. I know you have about 2 or 3 weeks left when the episode drops. We can't wait to follow.
Perfect. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
And now on to close it out, the right-hander from Houston, Texas, James Christopher.
So that does wrap up this episode of Let's Get To. We've had a great time out here at Riverfront Stadium, home of your Wichita Wind Surge. And by the time this episode drops, that will be the end of the affiliated minor league baseball season. But you might notice that I've been wearing this jersey throughout this episode. This is from the York Revolution. They played as the Average Joes. The Southern Maryland Blue Crabs played as Globo Gym. They play for the Atlantic League, and there's still like 2 weeks left of Atlantic League baseball, so check them out. But now, for the affiliated minor league baseball, it's time to step into the void, which for me means Christmas is right around the corner. So, make sure you get your letters in for Santa, get your milk ready, get you some cookies, but most importantly, if you've all been good little boys and girls, let's get to it.